Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Well, great to see every single one of you today. Those who are joining us online, on air, it's always a joy to bring our Wetoto service to you wherever you are. And I know you are going to be blessed through the word today. And I know you've already been blessed, but I'm just excited to share God's word. Now, before I dive into what I'm going to share, I want to recognize some friends who have come from Kenya Assembly of God University in Nairobi, and we're having conversations how we can be partners and offer opportunities for our young people that want a biblically based education that prepares them to be transformational leaders, godly transformational leaders in the marketplace. So we always are looking for different ways to be a part of it. And so Kyle and Anna are here. They are the vice chancellors at the university. So thank you for coming. Please stand and wave to the congregation. Thank you for coming. We look forward to more conversations. Now, Vanita and myself were away for a couple of weeks, and we went to connect with some of our partners, but also for some strategic meetings. One of those is a gathering of pastors from around the world that are very passionate about seeing God's kingdom advance. And the conversations are always very inspirational, very challenging. But I just want to highlight one of them. And it was around what is going on with Christianity globally. I mean, we talked about places where there's the suffering church, places where there's persecution. Man, there's places where pastors every day are wondering whether they will make it to the next day because of persecution. And countries like India and other places, and it is very terrible. But there's people there who are still going strong, preaching the word. And then we get a chance to also just analyze globally what's going on. And there's a report that came out that says Christianity is growing at a rate of 1.8%. Now, that rate is not a very good one. Because that rate shows that, yes, you're growing, but you're declining. And so the conversations were around how can we turn that around and see that in the next 10, 15 years, we'll see a 5% growth. And it was such exciting conversations. And you know what, Wetoto Church? We get to be a part of it. Everything we do here at Wetoto is contributing to making sure we see more people come into the kingdom of God. Whenever we give our miracle offering, whenever we ask you to pray for your focus 10, be in a small group, all of that is intended to advance the kingdom of God. And you know what, my friends? Part of the central conversations is the role of Africa to turn that around. Something beautiful is happening on this continent. In fact, some of the conversations we are having with our friends from the University of Nairobi is intercultural studies, how you can study how to be effective in a different culture, because God is going to set us up to go and bring the gospel in some of those dark places. And so it's exciting what God is doing here in Africa. And as Wetoto, we get to be a part of it. And then we visited some partners and also went to the UK and visited some friends there. And man, one of the churches we went to is experiencing, some of you have heard about the quiet revival in Europe, where young people are flocking the church. Last year or the other year, I think it's last year, there was more Bible sales, real physical Bibles, than ever. And do you know who was buying the most? Young people. Gen Z. They said, I was talking to a friend, he said this, that the young people are tired of flashy Christianity. All these pomp Christianity that has come, celebrity pastors, they are tired. They want to meet the real Jesus. They want to have an encounter that's authentic. They are tired of fake. They have read through a lot of all these popular people on social media that are not genuine and authentic. In fact, one of the highest needs for Gen Z and the next generation is authenticity. Social media, they are tired of it because people tell lies on social media. And so they want the real deal. Listen, here at Watoto is the real deal. It's Jesus. It is about Jesus. Because here's what we know. When you have an authentic encounter with Jesus, your life will never remain the same. Your life can never be the same. And that's why today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, it is a religious date in the calendar. And as you go around the city, people are all carrying these. But do they even know what it means? This is the day some people are showing up to church after missing for a long time. Some are happy because the fasting season is coming to an end. But today we want to reflect on a historical event that has so much spiritual significance. That's what we want to do. So let me read you the story of Palm Sunday, the very first one. And I'll read from Matthew 21. Did we get the other version on? Okay, I'm going to read the one that is coming, the one from Luke. So if you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 19, chapter 19. And I'm going to read from verse 28. Powerful scripture. Could we stand so I can read this one? You know, we stand for worship. We stand for certain men of God. We got to stand for the word of God. It's a powerful word. This is what the Bible says. After Jesus had said this, it's a continuation. He'd been giving parables. He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany, where he was anointed, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Wow. "Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.'" These were not Ugandans, I can tell you. You'd have a fight. "They brought it to Jesus, and this is what happened. They threw their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road." Other versions also say they broke branches and began to wave them. "When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives," he could see Jerusalem, "the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet.' Jesus said, 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" You can't stop the praise. "And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." What do you think Jesus does when he sees our city? when he sees our communities, when he sees the brokenness, when he sees the corruption, when he sees the immorality, when he sees the lies, it breaks his heart. So it says, as he approached and saw the city, he wept over it, and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. Lord, may this not be hidden from our eyes. Help us recognize that whenever you show up, lives change, cities change, things change. And today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, it is about the triumphant King who was making a way to completely shift the course of history. So speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. What we have just read, my friends, was not an accidental event. It was a prophetic event that somehow all the angels in heaven were waiting for, but the people on earth didn't even understand. And even the ones who were there that day were probably participating, but ignorant, like Jesus said here. The truth was hidden from them of what was going on. You see, my friends, Palm Sunday was a fulfillment of prophecy in the scriptures. It had been talked about in the scriptures, and you could see it from the time of when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. The last plague was speaking about the Passover, and the Palm Sunday is the beginning of that journey as Jesus was making his way to celebrate the Passover. But for the people, they were going for a celebration. For Jesus, it was different. And that's why it's such a significant moment, this one we're talking about. And this is what happened for the Passover. For those of you who may not know, when God was setting free the children of Israel from the bondage in Egypt, there were 10 plagues. The final plague that really ended the whole hold of Pharaoh onto the children of Israel was the one of death, the death of the firstborn child. And this is what God told the children of Israel. The angel of death is going to visit. But if you don't want him to affect your family, here's what you do. Get a lamb, sacrifice it, and get its blood, put it on your doorposts. When the angel of death comes and he sees the blood, he can't get in. He will just pass over. That's what it means. For every child of God, if you have believed in Jesus, listen, the blood of Jesus covers you. Every time Satan tries to come, he cannot penetrate your life, your family, your work. You are covered by the blood. And so they used to commemorate this Passover as a memory of how the angel of death couldn't access the children of Israel because of the blood. But this time around, it was different. They came with their sacrifices, but Jesus, the one coming, would be the sacrifice. So you have a prophetic picture, and then different scriptures. Daniel talks about the actual timing. The book of Psalms records some of the songs they used to sing. Hosanna, great songs. They would sing them, but that day the song was being fulfilled. And the whole prophecy about how Jesus would come into Jerusalem, you can check that out in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph. That's what was happening. This was a prophecy before it happened. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. This was a prophecy before it happened. So Palm Sunday was really prophecy being fulfilled. But the people who were there didn't know. But it was all part of God's grand plan. What was hidden for them Praise God, today is not hidden for us. And so I want to give you five lessons that we learn from the Palm Sunday event that will completely shift your faith. We're calling this week a revival week because we want our faith to be revived in this person called Jesus. As he was coming in, riding on that donkey, the people kept shouting and waving their palm leaves and laying their clothes down and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the shout got louder and louder. And people were saying, "Wow, this is Jesus who performed all these miracles." In the book of John, it describes how he had actually gotten Lazarus out of the grave. And he had just been anointed in Bethany. And he was going to make his way ready to pay the price that would shift the course of history. And as they were shouting, what was going on? Here are some five lessons that I don't want you to miss. Number one, because it was prophecy fulfilled, this is what you need to know, my friend. God keeps his every word. God keeps his every word. What happened in the book of Exodus, the picture that was there, the prophecy in Daniel, the prophecy of the songs that would be sung, what we just read in Zechariah 9:9, all of that is the word of God fulfilled on this day. So listen, my friends, every time you read the scriptures and find a promise from God, it is not wishful thinking. This is a promise that God can fulfill. And at the right time, he will make that promise possible. Now, if you really believed that God will keep his promises in his word, what does it mean for you? Dig into his word daily. Just like you need food every day, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Because we need bread, we need food to live every day, but by every word. Why is that important? Jesus knows the moment you have God's word, man, you know you can go to the bank on it. This is the most important word. So Palm Sunday should remind you that, hey, God will keep his every word, his promises. You can count on his promises. The word of God is not just hopeful suggestions. They are divine commitments from God. And his record in fulfilling his word is 100%. 100%. You can count him on his word. Second lesson that I would like us to draw from this great event as Jesus marched into Jerusalem is this: Jesus will always meet our deepest need. Jesus will always meet our deepest need. That simply means there are shallow needs. So this doesn't mean that Jesus is going to meet your need for a phone upgrade. He can do that. He can do that. I'm talking about a need that no other human being can meet. There are needs we have that only Jesus can meet, my friends. They are so deep, sometimes we don't even know how to share them with others. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray about them, but Jesus knows them, and Jesus is able to meet your deepest need. In the scenario we are just talking about, for the people that were there, they were going through physical oppression by the Romans. I mean, it was difficult for them. Taxes were high and they were being oppressed. It was political oppression. It was difficult for them. And what they thought they needed was another wonderful conqueror who would come and deliver them from the Roman oppression. That's what they thought they needed. But the need was deeper than just political. It was spiritual. And that ride that Jesus made was of spiritual significance because right there, Jesus, the King of Kings, was about to defeat what no human king could defeat. He was about to take on Satan and the kingdom of darkness. Let me tell you, you cannot overcome the kingdom of darkness using carnal means. And when I talk about darkness, Satan is its king, demons are its agents. Darkness is horrible. Darkness is horrible. Physical darkness alone brings fear, anxiety. That's when crime is the highest. You're confused. You can't see where you're going. That's physical darkness. But spiritual darkness is one that is so much on the inside that you can have everything working well on the outside, but on the inside it's dark. You can be blessed on the outside and broken on the inside. And Jesus has come. He's saying, I've come to meet your deepest need. I'm the only one who can heal your broken heart, who can set you free from anger, bitterness, every demonic oppression. That's Jesus. He comes to meet that deepest need. That's why we pray. We pray because we know there are certain things no other one can do for us. And for the children of Israel, they were shouting, celebrating, and they were thinking, now he's going to bring us freedom like they thought. But he was bringing freedom that is real. Freedom from the inside. The other one we'll talk about is next week. He came to meet a deepest need, which was a fear of death. We all fear death. Next week, we're going to see how Jesus, that journey was the start of him coming to conquer death once for all. Hallelujah. So Jesus, he's come to meet our deepest need. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, the people who have been walking in darkness have seen a great light. Oh, listen, my friends. I know there's some of us who are walking in darkness. And I don't mean darkness because your power has been cut off. I mean you're walking in a real life dark situation. It's a valley of the shadow of death. But those walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So that day as Jesus was riding, the light was dawning. It was coming. It was coming. I love what Colossians 1:13 says. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. There is no amount of darkness that can defeat Jesus. It's come to meet our deepest needs. 1 John 3:8 says this, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. There are people who have tried to stop you, and they've been orchestrated by the devil. Demons, witchcraft around your work. People have cursed you. They've said all kinds of things against you. People have said, oh, look, the sickness you have, you are gonna die. I've got good news for you. They don't have the final word. We are talking about the one who came riding on the donkey. He has the final word on every matter of life. He keeps his word. And he will meet your deepest needs. Yesterday, we had a gathering of young people. We were youth here. We came as 15, 16-year-olds and formed a group. And those days, every group used to get a name. Our name was RAID and still is RAID. RAID is an acronym standing for Righteous Army Invading Darkness. Man, as teenagers, we were ready to take on, motivated by the vision of the church here. And here at Watoto, man, we believe in young people. And Pastors Gary and Marilyn always said it. No, they can be part of changing the world and bringing healing to the city. So we became that. And we did a lot of stuff, missions and a lot of stuff as young people. So yesterday, we had a reunion almost 30 years later. And we brought our children. It was so good to be seated there. I was having a conversation with one of the raiders, who is now raider by association, by marriage. So as we had the conversation, she said to me, I don't know if you knew what happened to me last year. I said, no, because she visited Uganda. And this is the story. Before she came on holiday with her family, because she's now living in another part of the world, she sensed a lump around her breast. And so she said, I'm not going to let this destroy my holiday. So she came and she had good holiday with her family, went back and did the tests, and they returned positive. She had breast cancer. I said, wait a minute. You? She says, yes. She says, when I got that news, man, it was saddening, it was dark. And I prayed, and God gave me a word. God said to her, Jesus who keeps his promises, said to her, this is going to bring glory to my name. Amen. That was the first word. The second word was this. You will not look like what you think. Because she had these images of when I go through cancer treatment, I'm going to lose my hair, this, and it may not work. And she had all of those things. Yesterday, I sat with a miracle before me. Because there's a Jesus who meets our deepest needs, like healing, cancer, and a Jesus who knows us. And he keeps his word. So when they were singing, here comes Jesus, they were saying, here comes the one who meets our deepest needs and drives our darkness like no other can. So don't just wave the palm leaves and forget that the one we are waving for meets our deepest needs, keeps his word. But the third thing I want you to recognize there is that this King Jesus, he comes to you individually. Yes, he's coming into a city. I love what verse 5 says of Matthew 21. Say to daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. I love that. And this is why. Sometimes I know that when I hear God's word, I hear a promise. Because we seem to be many, we think the promise is not for me. You can be lost in a crowd. You can feel invisible. You can feel like, can God hear my prayer? Jesus, this triumphant King, he knows you personally. He was coming into a city, but he was not just interested in the crowd. He had you on his mind. Jesus will leave the 99 coming after you. He knows you by name. He knows your every thought. He knows how messed up you are, and he still comes. The kings of this world, for you, they don't come to you. You go to them. And you have to go through security detail before you approach them. You have to make appointments. Jesus is not like that. The King of Kings has chosen, I'll be the one coming after you. There's no shadow he won't light up. There's no lie he won't tear down like we sing. There's no wall he won't kick down. Coming after you. So when we wave, it's not just Jesus is coming for my neighbor. No, he's coming for you. It's a triumphant entry for the King of Kings in your own life. Now here's the fourth challenge, lesson that I want to give to you. Is that it is possible for you to miss the coming of Jesus and his visitation. It's possible to miss it. They missed it. that were present on the first Palm Sunday, and they missed him. The Pharisees missed him. There were many more who missed him. It is possible for you to miss Jesus. Do not miss this day of your visitation. That's why the Bible says, I'll read that again. He says, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it. And then he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. I wonder how many people miss Jesus every time. This wonderful King who loves you so much. Every day waiting. This man, I've come. I'm here for you. I'll never leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm right there with you. But we can miss him. May Palm Sunday remind us that we need to be alert every time. We need to be aware that we are not alone. We need to know that that King who was riding that donkey, he's the same one who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He's the one who is called Emmanuel, God with us. Not sometimes, but all the time. He's the one who knows how bad we are, but still comes after us. He's not like human beings who change their minds. I love what the scripture says. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should shift his mind. Human beings can promise you stuff. They can summon a stick to you all the time. I'm even going to come to you, and they don't show up. Not with God. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. So Jesus cannot, he can't turn his ear on you. He can't. So when he visits, welcome him. And the final thing is this. They kept shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That shout, the phrase Hosanna means, save us now. Save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The only one that can save you is Jesus. It's not your pastor, not that prophet or apostle, nobody, not that politician. Only one can truly save. His name is Jesus. So when they were shouting Hosanna, they were saying, here comes salvation for humanity. The curse of sin was finally going to be broken. That's why this week is so special. I'm going to close. One of the songs that we sang today says, can I testify? There's a part that says, if you only knew where Jesus saved me from. I was in the dark. He brought me to the sun. Now I'm living proof of what the Lord has done. At that gathering, everyone was sharing how they joined the group and sharing some stories they would remember, great memories. And one of my friends who I studied with reminded me, and it got me thinking, because sometimes we forget. I gave my heart to Jesus here in this church at an event as a 10-year-old, walked through those doors. And I was on fire for God, but somehow I didn't have the right people around me to help me grow in the faith. And so as a teenager, I walked away from God. I lived a double life. And so this friend reminded me while we're at school when we're 15 years old, 15, 16. We're done with exams. I think we had one more exam left, which was a week later, because we had nothing to do. We were idle. Some people came up with this great idea. Let's escape from school and go partying. Let's go dancing. I used to hear a lot about people having fun. And I used to think, maybe I'm missing out, because I was living a double life. So I said, let me go and try the dancing. We escaped from school. So he was reminding me. Says, man, we escaped from school and went to one of the clubs in town. This is what I remember. I entered that club and I hated it. It was too loud. People were screaming. Others were fighting. Others were vomiting. I said to myself, is this what people call fun? I couldn't believe it. And you may say, how did you enter the club? Man, you come up and think you're big. You walk on that thing like this. And so I said to myself, I can't waste this night. I think the only way to have fun is by being drunk. Because there's no chance these people are normal. That's what came through my mind. So I started drinking and I drank. I thought I would get drunk immediately. So I drank and I came back inside. I could still see the mess inside. I thought, I'm not having fun. I went out. There were people selling the original crude, the one that is not tested by any Bureau of Standards. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I said, this is the one that might work for me. And I took it like I was thirsty. I just galloped because the hours were ticking and I needed to have fun. I went back in, nothing. I went, because in my mind, you have to get drunk immediately, you drink. So anyways, long story short, my friend says, when they finally hired a taxi to take us back to school, they entered and one of them said, Julius is missing. And if we leave him behind, they're going to catch all of us. They ran back inside. My party was beginning. I was just beginning. So they got me, dragged me to the car, took me to school, rolled me back to my bed. He's telling me this story. I can't remember all of this. And for 3 days, that's the part I remember when I woke up. And every time I spoke, alcohol. Every time I belched alcohol, I poisoned my body. I drank milk. For 3 days, it was bad. I was just sleeping. And I made up my mind. I said, alcohol? No. I said, if this is what it does, no. But the most important thing that happened is I decided to go for a Christian conference, youth conference, and I recommitted my life to Jesus. He saved me. I can honestly sing Hosanna because I'm living proof. Don't miss your visitation.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey,